From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Candidates for U.S. Senate were grilled over fish Wednesday night, but it didn't end until after we put the Alaska Fisheries Report to bed. So we'll have the highlights in next week's show. Meanwhile, there's praise for a longtime champion of responsible fishing, and the quota for crab out west is down. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Going to be a down year for crabbers in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands. Several fisheries will be closed and others will have reduced harvest quotas. However, as KDLG's Dave Benninger tells us, the unwelcome news was not unexpected after a summer survey reported crab stocks were depressed.
The National Marine Fisheries Service annual summer surveys across the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands came back with the not good news. Miranda Westfall is the state's area management biologist based in Unalaska.
Overall, you know, we've been seeing the last couple of seasons of them surveying that crab stocks in general have been on the decline. So this season certainly wasn't a surprise for anyone either.
The news releases from Fish and Game trickled out all last week. First, the quota for the Bristol Bay Red King crab, which opens this Saturday, will be cut 15%. Then announcements came for the closure of Pribilof Red and Blue King crab, then the closure of Tanner crab, and closure of St. Matthew Island Blue King crab. The last announcement of a near 50% reduction of the snow crab harvest came out Thursday. Westfall says crabs are very cyclical, and she hopes to see things improve soon.
I kind of feel like just looking at past fishery data, past stock data, that we're just in one of the low cycles right now. The NIMS trawl survey happens every summer, and so we'll just kind of have to wait and see what it looks like next summer. But the hope is that it will turn around fairly quickly.
The BSAI crab industry is worth hundreds of millions every year. For example, in 2014, 108 vessels fished, employing 1,200 crew, and they caught some 81 million pounds of crab with an ex-vessel value of $246 million. The wholesale value of the processed poundage was even higher. The Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation has 9 vessels that fish crab. CEO Norm Van Vactor says these reductions and closures will be costly to the tune of millions of dollars for BBEDC.
There's less crab for the boats to catch. There's less crab for our salespeople to sell. There's less opportunity on a dollar, you know, on a margin basis per pound for BBEDC to generate revenue. And, of course, as we all know, it's these types of revenue that feed and support our programs.
Right now, BBEDC and other crabbers are making some hard choices on how to optimize the efficiency of their fishing fleets this season. Snow crab and Bristol Bay Red King crab open Saturday.
Do we tie a boat up? Do we move quota from one boat to the rest of the boats that are fishing? Do we just kind of share the pain equally between the vessels? Because remember, you know, we're in this as partners with other people and with the crew, quite frankly. And so everybody kind of shares in the good times and everybody shares in the bad times.
Decisions about crab harvest quotas are made after the NIMF's summer trawl survey data is in. Van Vactor says there are questions about how effective that effort really is right now in determining how many crab are on the Bering Sea floor.
There is a strong feeling, and we're certainly seeing it in our other fisheries, and in particular around our cod boats. They're seeing more crab than they've ever seen in a long time. So the feeling is that we are dealing with changing water temperatures. You know, we've had a warm blob, if you will, in the Gulf of Alaska. There have been different temperature currents in the Bering Sea. And the feeling is that the crab resource is probably actually quite healthy, but they're just not in their traditional areas.
Van Vactor says industry is lobbying hard for the North Pacific Council and the state of Alaska to consider changes to the way that trawl survey is done. Those conversations will continue this fall and winter. Nothing is likely to alter what is now set to be a poor year with limited opportunities for crabbing in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands fisheries. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The White House this week honored Sitka's Linda Benkin as a champion of change for her work to improve fishing sustainability. Benkin directs the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She's been a commercial fisherman for more than 30 years. At a White House forum, she said fishermen are great problem solvers.
They have to be when you're out on the water 90 miles offshore and something breaks. You have to know how to fix it, and you have to know how to get yourself back to shore and keep your crew safe.
She says her organization and the national fishing coalitions that she works with aim to harness that ingenuity. She's worked to involve fishermen in research projects to ensure healthy fish populations and improve ocean science. Benkin says they also use their networks to help new fishermen get off to a good start.
So having people who are established that know how to avoid sensitive habitat, know how to avoid bycatch hotspots, mentor young fishermen, share data with young fishermen, and help them be successful with running their businesses in ways that also sustain the fisheries for the future.
Benkin was one of 12 people the White House honored as champions of change in seafood sustainability. The Obama White House created the Champions of Change Award as part of the president's Win the Future initiative, a key theme in his 2011 State of the Union address. Also this week, President Barack Obama announced his intent to appoint nearly a dozen individuals to key administration posts, including two that bear directly on Alaska fisheries. Robert D. Alverson was renamed to the International Pacific Halibut Commission, and Philip Anderson's name is being forwarded for the Pacific Salmon Commission. Alverson has served as United States Commissioner to the International Pacific Halibut Commission since 2014. He has also served as the manager and executive secretary of the Fishing Vessel Owners Association since 1976. Alverson has been a member of the Pacific Fishery Management Council's Groundfish Advisory Panel since 2007 and a member of the Council's Vessel Monitoring System Subcommittee. He has also served on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's ITQ Advisory Committee for halibut and sablefish since 2005. Alverson is a recipient of the Norwegian Commercial Club's King Neptune Award for 30 years of service to the fishing industry. Anderson, meanwhile, an appointee for United States Commissioner on the Pacific Salmon Commission, has served in various roles during his 21-year employment with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, ending with his retirement from the agency in January 2015. He served as the department's director from 2008 to his retirement, the department's deputy director in 2007 and 8, and special assistant to the director from 1994 to 2007. Anderson has served as a member of the Pacific Fishery Management Council since 1987 in several different capacities. He also represents the council on the Joint Management Committee, responsible for implementing the U.S.-Canada Pacific Whiting Treaty. Anderson has been an alternate United States Commissioner to the U.S. section of the Pacific Salmon Commission since 2011. Five of the appointments were to members of the United States Holocaust Memorial Council, a pair to the National Science Foundation, one to the Commission on White House Fellowships, and one as Director for Domestic Nuclear Detection with the Department of Homeland Security.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
Alaska and British Columbia officials signed a statement of cooperation late last week aimed at protecting rivers that flow from the province through the state of Alaska. But transboundary mine critics say it's still not strong enough. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The document is a result of about a year of talks following citizen warnings about BC mines and mining projects near the border. Local and tribal governments, as well as fishing and environmental groups, say such mines could release pollution that would damage Alaska fisheries and traditional food gathering. British Columbia Mines Minister Bill Bennett says the agreement will give the state more input into the province's environmental assessment and permitting process. He says the agreement will establish a technical committee of experts, not politicians, to set up new water monitoring systems.
We need baseline information so that we know whether there's going to be or will be impact in the future from mining operations. We need these folks to figure out how we're going to pay for it, who's going to do it.
Alaska Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott called the terms another step in Alaska's commitment to open and transparent collaboration on the issue.
It creates a technical working group to allow us to essentially put our hands on the power levers of the British Columbia government in its entire regulatory process of permitting mines and monitoring mines.
The agreement was drawn up with feedback from mining, government, fisheries, community, and environmental groups, as well as state and provincial officials. Bennett says his ministry also reached out to First Nations members living in affected areas. He says similar outreach happened in Alaska.
So I think on both sides of the border, we're quite proud of the fact that this is not something that the two governments are imposing. This is something that has, I think, developed from the grassroots.
Some people disagree. Ketchikan's Rob Sanderson Jr. works with the United Tribal Transboundary Mining Work Group. He says tribal governments on both sides of the border should be co-signers of the agreement. He also says it doesn't address their most fundamental concerns.
It's not our business to issue permits to mining companies. Our business, in my opinion, is to maintain our culture for all future generations. This agreement does not do that.
Sanderson and other mine critics say this statement of cooperation, part of a larger memorandum of understanding, has little power to make significant mine safety improvements. They want the state to continue pursuing involvement of the International Joint Commission. That's a U.S.-Canada panel handling cross-border water disputes.
This memorandum of agreement throws a wrench into that. It's because when you're looking at it from the outside, you know, they're saying, well, probably maybe we don't need it. You know, the state has a memorandum with the British Columbian government, so, you know, why go there?
Lieutenant Governor Mallott says the statement of cooperation will not interfere with the state's pursuit of Joint Commission action. BC mining companies and regulators say the existing process already safeguards transboundary rivers. That's a position taken by Alaska officials in past years before citizen concerns led to talks that resulted in this agreement. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham, APRN's Liz Ruskin in D.C., and Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.